I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I was airlifted to a nearby hospital. When I got in the helicopter, like when they picked me up, they radioed ahead to the hospital. They're like, hey, we're bringing this kid in, but we're just going to let you know that he's probably not going to be alive when we get there.
That's Carson Maul talking about moments after his suicide attempt that he survived. What led to it? Could it have been prevented? And what's it like to survive a suicide attempt? Carson's story is one you don't want to miss. Welcome to Riggs Off the Radio. It's Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday is an informational podcast and should not be used to replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a healthcare or mental health care professional. Mental Health Monday can't be held responsible for the use of the information provided. Please, always consult a trained mental health professional before making any decision regarding treatment of yourself or others. Self-help information and podcasts and information on the internet is useful, but not always the substitute for professional assistance. Unless otherwise noted, guests of Mental Health Monday are not doctors or licensed in any way. Our hope is to make a connection with you and be more open and honest about everyone's mental health. Thanks for checking it out. Enjoy the podcast.
What's up? Welcome to Riggs Off the Radio. I'm Riggs. This was a Facebook Live that I did with Carson, so if you'd like to watch, you can do that at my Facebook page, facebook.com/RiggsRadio. I should mention before we get into this podcast that there will be discussion of suicide, including discussion of Carson's suicide attempt. And before we get into it, you should know the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255, or you can text the word hello to 741-741. That is the crisis text line. Carson Maul, my guest this week for Riggs Off the Radio on Mental Health Monday. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, you go to college, correct? Because you're in a dorm room. I noticed that we both look like we're in basements.
Yeah.
So where do you go to school at?
I'm currently a freshman at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, how old are you now, by the way?
18, almost 19.
Okay.
So,
tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of like how you got to where you are today. Just for people that may not know you, just a little, like, I guess, a bio about who you are.
Yeah. So as you said earlier, I mean, obviously my name is Carson Maul. I'm a suicide survivor, and that's the main reason that I'm here to talk today. So that's a pretty big part of who I am today. I'm 18 years old. I actually attempted suicide when I was 14. So it's been over 4 years now, almost five. Just a little bit about me. I'm studying computer science at Oshkosh. I'm a tech guy. I'm a tech nerd. I like to work out. I like football, you know, basically all sports. And I'm a big, you know, DC Comics fan. I like Batman, Superman, The Flash, all of that. So that's just a little bit about me.
Yeah. So you're 14 years old when you made your attempt on your life.
Yeah.
What was going on before that? Like, did you have some issues before that you kind of knew about? Were you vocal with that with your parents at all? Or did you kind of internalize things leading up to everything?
Yeah, I definitely internalized things a lot. I mean, we talk about it a lot that I really didn't show any signs of mental illness before I attempted suicide. I mean, first of all, I had very little education about mental health. Like, I was not educated on, you know, depression or anxiety or any of that. Like, I didn't know much about it at all. And looking back at it, I was absolutely suffering from some of those things, but I just didn't have the resources or the education to know that I was suffering from it, let alone tell someone that I was suffering from it. So most of the things that I was dealing with were related to, like, pressure and trying to live up to an image of perfection that, you know, is unattainable for anyone, really, especially a 14-year-old. And, you know, a lot of people want to be perfect. They want to live up to these expectations, and they want to be good for their friends. They want to be good for their family. They want to be good at sports and that kind of thing. And when you have these expectations on yourself, obviously you're not going to be able to live up to all of them.
Right.
And that was the case with me. And because of that, I had, you know, residual effects like being depressed or being anxious, you know, being upset that I couldn't do this, or being anxious about what I was going to have to try and do. And like I said, I didn't know what that was at the time. So I wasn't able to, you know, thoughtfully communicate it to people who could have helped me.
Do you think that going up to the moment when you made your attempt, were there other things that you were doing to kind of get attention, to kind of maybe show some warning signs a little bit in your mind, do you think?
No, for me, it was actually the opposite. I really just kept it really deep down inside. Like, I did not want anyone to know what I was struggling with, or even when I had gotten to the point where in my brain I was like, I'm going to try and take my own life. I didn't show any signs. I didn't want anyone to know, which is a very rare case, but I find that it's actually a lot more common than you think. And it's just because people do that. You know, they don't talk about it. But I was one of those cases where I just did not want to let anyone in on it. I didn't want anyone to know. I didn't show any signs. I didn't want any attention. I just was struggling with it on my own, and that's what I was going to do.
Like, talk me through when it happened. Was it like a daytime thing? Was it a nighttime thing? Like, when you kind of decided, this is what I want to do, like, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, it was a daytime thing. I had gotten in an argument with my parents that had really upset me. Like, I felt like I was just a complete failure. I felt like I had let down everyone around me and that I wasn't who I wanted to be. And after that, the thought kind of just popped into my head. I'm like, well, maybe if I'm not good enough for myself, if I'm not good enough for everyone, then maybe I shouldn't be here. And it was around, I think, 3 o'clock in the afternoon that I made that decision. And that thought was put in my head. And I just waited the rest of that day. And early that next morning, when everyone was asleep, was when I attempted.
Did you want to die, or did you want someone to step in and intervene and say, hold on, you're going to be all right, we can find you help?
Yeah, that's something we talk about a lot. And it's a big myth surrounding suicide, is that the person attempting, you know, they want to die. Like, they just want to. It's hard for me to explain, really, but the best way I can describe it is not wanting. You don't want to leave your family behind. You don't want to leave everything you have in life behind. The things you want to escape from and the things you want to leave behind are those feelings of helplessness, those feelings of sadness, those feelings of anger. It's way more about trying to leave those feelings than anything else. So I absolutely did not want to die. If someone would have known what I was going through, and if someone would have been able to talk to me, or if I would have known that someone was going through the same thing that I was, I absolutely would have taken that opportunity.
Yeah. So after this happens, you survived, which I'm glad you're still here, but what happened after the attempt? Who found you? Like, what happens moving forward?
Yeah. So this kind of goes back about to the not wanting to die thing. Like, yeah. I'll be like just completely 100% like open and honest with this. Like, I attempted to take my own life with a shotgun shot to the face. Like, obviously that's it's very hard to survive that, right? And so when I did it, I woke up and my mom found me. I was out in the garage. My mom found me. And when I woke up, obviously I was in a pretty large amount of pain and turmoil, obviously.
Yeah.
And at that point I was in a lot of distress, and I didn't really have conscious thoughts per se, but I had kind of this instinct that, wait, you survived, you're still alive, there's a reason for that, right? And like I said, it wasn't something that I thought in my head at the time. It's something that I know today, that I'm still here for a reason, and I did not die that night for a reason. But it was like an instinct I had immediately in the moment that you're still alive, Now, you're still pretty injured, so you might not be. So now you need to fight to stay alive. And so I did.
Now, moving forward, now, what is the prognosis? What do you do afterwards? What is the treatment like? How, obviously, you had to get yourself, you know, probably some surgery and just get yourself fixed, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
As best as you can with plastic surgery or whatnot that you had to do. What was that like moving forward after that?
Well, yeah. Basically, immediately, there was, you know, life-saving surgery. Like, I was airlifted to a nearby hospital. And, like, when I got in the helicopter, like, when they picked me up, they radioed ahead to the hospital. They're like, hey, we're bringing this kid in, but we're just going to let you know that he's probably not going to be alive when we get there. But like I said, I was just fighting to survive at that point. And that's a very powerful thing. It can be very underestimated. But I immediately had surgeries to kind of stabilize my breathing to make sure that I could, you know, breathe properly because I had a lot of blood and stuff in my lungs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then from there, they transported me to the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee, which is one of the best hospitals we have in Wisconsin. And from there, I stayed there for 6 weeks as an inpatient immediately after my suicide attempt, where I think during those 6 weeks, I had 7 or 8 surgeries just to make like my facial structure just stable, not even functional at this point. Like, I still could not eat orally. I still could not drink anything orally. And there was a couple of weeks where I couldn't speak orally. But I just had surgeries just to make everything stable, so my face just wasn't, you know, falling apart like it was after I had attempted suicide. So once we get those kind of baseline surgeries where I'm stable, you know, I'm not just falling apart, then we can kind of focus on rebuilding to be functional, first of all, being able to eat, being able to talk, being able to drink, that kind of thing. And then in these past few, probably these last, mostly the last year and a half, 2 years, we've gotten into surgeries more for appearance, trying to make, restructure my face to, you know, fix the parts that were broken a little bit. Yeah. And I think I had just a surgery literally 6 days ago. I think it was my 16th total. So that's kind of been just a little overview of what that has been like over these past almost 5 years.
Physically repairing you is obviously important to you, but how about mentally repairing you? How do you focus on working on your mental health to make sure that you stay healthy, you stay on the right path, and you get those emotions out instead of going down that path again and where you were when you were 14?
Yeah. Well, because of the situation that I was in and because of what I did, I was kind of obviously forced into a situation where I had to get help for my mental health because it was in a point where I was a harm to myself, and that's pretty much as low as you can go, right? So I was forced into a situation where I had to see a therapist, a psychiatrist, that kind of thing. But even all these years after, where I'm in a stable mental condition and I'm not a harm to myself or others, I still continue therapy because everybody struggles with bad thoughts. Everybody gets down. Everybody's sad. Everybody gets angry. But there are people who have studied the brain and they can tell you what will work for you, and they can work with you and tell you how to minimize and how to negate those negative effects. And I think it's really important that you find someone like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a therapist or a psychiatrist, but someone who will work with you and someone who knows you and knows what your thoughts are and knows what you're going through, and they can kind of give you an outside perspective as someone who isn't caught up in that moment where they're sad right now or they're angry right now, because that can kind of clog your thoughts a little bit. And I think it's really important to have someone to talk to like that, and then they can give you ideas or they can give you suggestions about possibly how to make that better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, may be an odd question. I don't know if it's offensive or not, but do you regret your decision to try to end your life, or do you think that it changed you in a good way?
For a long time, I did regret my decision. The first probably 3 years were just, they're really bad. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. You know, they're the worst years of my life. There's lots of pain I went through, lots of struggles that I went through. But over these last couple years where I've started to kind of accept it, and not only accept it, but use it to help others, it's changed my whole outlook on it. I think I'm a much better, much more mature, much more experienced person because of everything that I've been through at such a young age. And then I can use that to help others. Like, I've had other 14-year-olds comment on my TikTok, so like message me on Instagram, telling me that like they were in a place that I was, where they were ready to try and attempt to take their own life, and they didn't because they saw that I was going through it and they saw that I made it out okay. So for a long time I regretted very, very deeply what I've done. But over these last couple of years, I would not change a thing because I think it's made myself a better person, and I really love using it to help others, and I wouldn't take any of that back.
Yeah. You mentioned social media, your Instagram and your TikTok, where I checked your TikTok. You got like 120,000 followers. You got a huge audience there, a big reach of people you can talk to.
Yeah.
And I noticed some of your videos were flagged for sensitive content. And I've always wondered why platforms like TikTok will flag videos where you mention suicide. What kind of videos of yours are getting flagged? It looked like a couple where you were sharing your story. What's your experience been with that, trying to share your story and having it almost flagged a little bit with people?
Yeah, a lot of my videos that I have flagged have been because of that. Like, I don't cuss in any of my videos. I don't have any inappropriate content in any of my videos. So it's not any of that. I think maybe the point that they're getting to is if you talk about suicide, then it'll put the thought, like the idea, into the heads of people. But I think people are already very aware of what it is. And I think I would actually argue the opposite, that the more you know about it, the less likely you are to go down that road. Because like I stated earlier, if I had known half of what I know now about mental health, or if I had just known someone like me who was going through those things and had gotten to the other side, like, it would have stopped me from attempting to take my own life. And there are a lot of people who make the argument that if you talk about it and like you talk about suicide, then it's just going to like make it more widespread, and it's going to put the idea into people's heads. But like I said, I would absolutely argue the complete opposite of that.
No, it's been proven through research that by asking someone about suicide, it's part of crisis management 101. By asking someone about suicide, you're forcing them to confront that and then say, wow, am I? Do you think if someone would have asked you 20 minutes before you took your life, if you were thinking about suicide, what would you have said?
At that point, I would have probably just broken down, and I would have talked about everything. If anyone knew what was going on in my mind and what I was had made up my mind to do, and they would have asked me about it 20 minutes before, I wouldn't have done it. I would have broken down, and I just would have let it all out. And that's just the truth of it.
Did you ever think about resources like they're always putting out the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, the crisis text line? Did those ever cross your mind at any point?
Honestly wasn't even aware of those when I was 14 years old. And that's why through a lot of my social media and a lot of the work I do is I make sure that my audience knows about that. Because I wasn't even aware that was a thing that I could do. I didn't know I could call a number and I could talk to someone. I didn't know I could text a number and someone would talk me through it. I honestly was just completely unaware of it.
Yeah. We obviously live in a very judgmental society now. So while your story is incredibly inspirational and what you've been through is amazing, and I'm glad that you're using your voice for positive now to help people, do you still get a lot of the people that are ignorant about mental health, the people that make comments about your appearance, the people that say hurtful things to you still? And how do you cope with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You're always going to have people who are going to say negative things. Like I've been brought down a good bit by people who have said some bad things about me, obviously. Like, people often make comments about my appearance and that kind of thing. And also just negative talk about mental health. But, you know, one thing that really helps me with that is when someone leaves like a negative comment on my TikTok, there will be like 20 replies to that comment just saying like, hey man, just like knock it off. Like, this guy's putting out positive content into the world. And if you want to go be negative at someone who's trying to bring others down. But I'm just posting positive content. I'm trying to bring other people up. I'm trying to save lives. I'm trying to make people more aware of mental health. And I think the majority of the people who see my videos realize that, and they're willing to accept my point of view and, you know, kind of agree with me that this needs to be talked about more. And then from there, they're also able to kind of stand up for me when we do have those negative people.
So
you kind of have like an army of people that almost they're there to help you out.
They got Yeah, in a way.
That's nice. So what is your message to people moving forward? What's the one people with the one takeaway that you want people to get from your suicide attempt? You've survived, but what's the thing that you want people to take away from that? If you can part a message to them.
Yeah. It sounds really cliche and you hear it a lot and it sounds a little corny, but it's honestly the best analogy that I could find. And that is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because a lot of the times the people who are in that dark spot where you're angry, you're sad, you're depressed, you're anxious, to the point where you think the best option is to try and take your own life. Most of those people who get there, they don't come out the other side, right? And I'm one of the rare people who not only have been there and have come out the other side, but are willing to be open and honest about it. And I can tell you that as someone who's been in that dark spot, who's been in the bottom of that hole, it gets better. It may not be right away. It may not be days. It may not be weeks. It may not be months. It may not be years. But it will get better. And you just have to live for that. You have to live for when it does get better, because I promise it will all be worth it. And that's just the best advice I could give.
Nice. That's a great message. And I'm glad that you're so open and honest about it. And I appreciate your honesty with us. We've got some nice comments from people saying thank you for sharing your story. Aaron said that as well. Thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, of course.
She loved it too. My friend Chris Prohut, who's he works with law enforcement suicide prevention. He said you're an amazing communicator and an inspiration. He's proud of you for making an amazing show of strength and fight for your life immediately after your attempt. Glad you're here. I wish you more good days than bad to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have you gotten in? What kind of support are you getting? What's some of the good stuff that you're getting from maybe from friends or from family or from mental health organizations? What's some of the positivity you've been receiving?
Well, all my friends and family are very supportive about everything I do. Like, I had a short documentary made about me on YouTube last year, and I had all my friends and my family in it, and they're all just so supportive of what I do, and they want to be involved with it too. Because my life and my story isn't just about me. It's impacted everyone around me, everyone who I love and everyone who loves me, and they all have a story too. And I think it's really important that we touch on that, because it impacts each and every one of them differently. And they've all been so good about supporting my voice and then finding their own voice and being able to tell their story.
That's great. Well, it sounds like what you thought was the end of your life was really the beginning of your life and just a whole new beginning for your life, which is amazing.
Absolutely.
Nice. Carson Ball, really appreciate your time and all you're doing for mental health and for suicide prevention. I guarantee you're going to save lives with the way that you are so open and honest about your attempt and your life moving forward. So keep kicking butt. And keep making it happen in the gym, because you're ripped, man. What's your goal in the What's your next goal in the gym? Do you just want to stay fit? Is that kind of been your? Have you put a lot of your mental health into the gym? Is that kind of your outlet now?
Yeah, absolutely. I started off lifting because I played football in high school and I just wanted to get bigger for that. But now that I'm done with that, I kind of just put a lot of my negative emotions and I go on the gym and I just pump some iron and it makes me feel a lot better. So.
Nice. What other forms of self-care do you use? Obviously, going to the gym. What else do you use to kind of keep you in a good spot?
Like I said, I still go to therapy to this day. Like, I still talk to people who know about it. And honestly, it's just the support system I have around me. Like, I have such good friends who I can text them at 2 a.m. when I'm struggling, and they'll pick up their phone and they'll talk me through it and they'll help me out. So I know a lot of people don't always have such a good support system like that around them, but I think at least everybody has at least one person who they really care about and they care about them. And I think it's really important when you are struggling and when you do need that support and you need that support system, I think it's really important to go to them.
Yeah. And there's always the suicide prevention lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. And you can also use the crisis text line. You can text hello to 741-741 and text with a crisis counselor, and somebody will be right there right away, and they're there to talk to you, so you don't have to feel like you're alone. Carson Ball, again, thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on the podcast today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.